Right now, we've all heard the phrase, don't quit your day job, but our next guest really means it.
New York Magazine columnist Brad Stahlberg joins us now. He's also the author of the upcoming book, Peak Performance. In his recent article, he lays out the argument that pursuing your dreams shouldn't be a choice between your day job and your passion. Brad, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So, Brad, what happens when we have a day job, something we feel like we should do, maybe to pay the bills and put food on the table, and something we feel that we must do? There's no other choice but to do it. How do we go about handling that disconnect?
So there are two ways to go about handling it. In one way, which is kind of the prevailing wisdom, at least at lots of commencement speeches, is quit your day job and follow your passion, and you'll lead a more fulfilling life doing, like you said, what you feel like you must do or fulfilling your calling. Paradoxically, it turns out that perhaps the better way to pursue your calling or what you feel like you must do or what you must be doing is actually to do so on the side. So stay in your day job and follow your passion incrementally on the side.
It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? I mean, maybe we over-romanticize the idea of just going for your dreams in American culture, but it does seem like, why would you want to keep that day job when you could just go all in on something else?
So what researchers have found is that when people keep their day job, it actually allows them to take more risks and be more creative in pursuing their passion. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense, right? If you quit the day job and all of a sudden you need an income and you need to do it by following your quote-unquote passion, you might not be able to really pursue it to the fullest because you'll be risk-averse and you'll be cautious. Whereas if you have that day job to fall back on, it really allows you to take more risks. And the example that I like to give is myself as a writer. I've incrementally had more of my income come from writing, writing being my passion, I've kept my day job. And what it's let me do is instead of pitching and writing articles that I might not want to write but that will pay well, it's allowed me to take more shots at writing more provocative stories and maybe writing fewer stories but more meaningful ones, knowing that I'm not completely reliant on it for an income.
So I guess the idea is there's something psychologically beneficial about feeling a little safe.
Absolutely.
So why is that? Why do we think that, you know, there's not something? I mean, it seems like it could go the other way, that it could be damaging to think that you were holding out on yourself. Why does being safe help us?
So, you know, humans, the species, right? We evolved to kind of protect ourselves, and that's our whole fear mechanism. So I would make the argument that it's really in our DNA to feel fear and to have fear hold us back. And I think, well, on the one hand, like you said, paradoxically, certainly keeping your job, you could say that is fear holding you back. But on the other hand, if you quit that job, then for most people, unless you're really, truly bulletproof and someone that thrives under pressure, the fear factor actually gets higher. And therefore, like I said, you're probably less likely to really take the shots that will let you do what you want to do.
Now, part of what plays into this whole idea is something called the barbell strategy. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the barbell strategy is something that an author named Nassim Taleb referenced in his book. It's a great book. It's called Anti-Fragile. And what he says is that the best way to make a big life change or a career change is to think about it like a barbell. And on the one end of the barbell, you have the safe bet or something that is fairly risk-averse. It could be the job as the accountant. On the other end of the barbell, you have the 1 in 100 shot, but you're going to, you know, if it hits, you're going to be thrilled. And he calls it the dichotomy between having the accountant on one end of the barbell and the rock star on the other. And what he says is the best way to become a rock star is to be an accountant while you're becoming a rock star versus to quit your job and try to become a rock star.
So there's some research, as you were talking about, behind this. On the other hand, you know, we get a lot of messages to the contrary in our culture. And I think it was not too long ago, maybe a couple years back, that Anderson Cooper, the TV host, made waves by saying, you know, you shouldn't have a plan B because then you're not all in on your dream. And I think a lot of people buy that and think it makes sense. Are we overdoing it on the go for your dream stuff?
Well, like I said, I think that there's individual variation, and I think that some people probably truly do thrive under pressure. And for those people, it might make sense to go all in. But what the research shows is that entrepreneurs that keep their current day job, even if it feels like they're going through the motions in it, while they build out their business on the side, they have something like a 33% greater chance of success in actually standing up that business and having it be sustainable in the future. So what I'd say the research says, and the argument isn't that you should always keep the day job, but rather than completely jump ship and go all in, a more incremental approach probably works best for a lot of people, and the research would support that.
We're talking right now with Brad Stulberg. He's a columnist for New York Magazine. We've been talking about his recent article that says pursuing your dreams shouldn't be a choice between your day job and your passion. You can do both. In fact, some research shows that we're more successful when we keep that day job and at the same time go for those dreams. And you can find that article over on the Central Time Facebook page. And we want to hear from you. Is this something that you've seen in your own life? Did you have a brass ring kind of life you wanted and you didn't quite give up the day job, but you eased into that that brass ring dream job? Or did you go for it? Did you go all in? And how did that work out? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Brad, is there more research like this out there that a more measured approach can help us when we're trying to launch a life and a career?
So I think that, you know, it's not a widely evaluated area and it could probably use some more research. Anecdotally, I've had the privilege to spend a lot of time around world-class athletes and have done a lot of reporting with world-class athletes. And somewhat similarly, what tends to happen is the individuals that don't specialize early, so maybe they play a bunch of sports growing up, or maybe they actually spread out their interests, right? They pursue arts, more intellectual pursuits, music, and athletics at the same time. Those are the athletes that actually tend to attain world-class status, which is kind of counterintuitive because mm-hmm. you think it would be those athletes that go completely all in right off the bat, but that's not the case.
Well, how come we don't know about those athletes? I mean, I've heard of Venus and Serena Williams. Everybody knows that they played tennis practically from the womb, and we think about them as being the pinnacle of the sport. Well, is it something that we're not getting, that other narrative?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a recent statistic is in the recent NFL football draft, something like 29 or 28 of the first 31 picks all played multiple sports growing up. And I think what ends up happening in the athletic world is you raise a good point, but I think there's a lot of selection bias. So we hear the story of Venus and Serena or of Tiger Woods per se, but what we don't hear is of all the kids that burnt out because they were so obsessive and focused on that one thing from a young age. And that's just not as attractive or inspirational of a story to tell. But when you look at the research, what you find is that that kind of over-specialization, it does tend to lead to burnout, at least in athletes.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Scott joining us in Toma. Scott, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. What do you want to share?
Well, I had an unusual experience where I used to be a special education teacher, worked full-time. I had a student come to me and basically called me a hypocrite because he said I wasn't following my dreams. And so basically just to, you know, see if he was right or not, I went and started playing a little bit part-time on the side while I was teaching. And I got lucky. I got on the Oprah Winfrey Show. I sang to 45 million people. But I didn't quit cold turkey right away. I took a part-time job, and I did that for a couple years. And about 5 years ago, I went full-time. That's all I do now. And I've been on a Super Bowl commercial, and it's been fantastic. But I totally agree with him in that you don't have to completely quit cold turkey in order to follow your passions. But I do admit that in the last 5 years, had I not made the decision to finally quit that part-time job, I wouldn't have put my all into this. So,
wow, Scott, what a story. I can't believe that you started out, you got on Oprah, you've been on commercials. So you're agreeing with our guests that you can go kind of part-time in the beginning, but do you think that the ultimate goal is to do it, you know, full time, and that's eventually where the road leads?
I definitely knew that when I started this, when I took that part time job, that was just going to be a temporary thing. and that my goal was to put my all into the music. And it was hard, too. I mean, I even said this when I was on Oprah. You know, one of the things that, you know, I've been told my whole life is that music is a hobby. Don't quit your day job. I mean, mm-hmm. that's literally a phrase that everybody hears when it comes to music. I'm one of the few exceptions that can say that, you know, you work hard enough, you put your effort into it, and if you're good enough, you can make a full-time income from it. So.
Oh, that's inspiring. Scott, thanks a lot for calling and for sharing your story. And Brad, what do you think about that? Well, what do you hear in Scott's story there?
So I think Scott's story is a really nice example of what the research shows and what I wrote in that article, which is just that I think a more incremental approach to following your passion is the way to go. You know, it's interesting that Scott said at a certain point he did feel like he had to go all in. And I couldn't agree more. I think that is the goal. And of course, you want to get to a point where you can really be doing what you love the whole time. But it was also really interesting to hear Scott note that he took on a part-time job for those first few years as he was making progress. And I'd wonder if he hadn't had that part-time job, would he have been able to take the shots that ultimately got him on the Oprah Winfrey Show and enabled him to do this full-time?
Scott, well, thanks so much for calling. And Brad, final words of advice. What do you want people to know if they're stuck in something that's not really their first choice and they want to get there? What should they do?
So I think that I would identify what really makes you tick and what you really want to do and also be practical about it. Not everyone can be an NBA basketball player. Very few people can. But come up with a practical gig that you think would really be fulfilling and make you tick, and then figure out an incremental path to get there. So have it start as a hobby, and then maybe try to go down to 90% at your job. Or in Scott's case, shift jobs is something that allows you to work part-time. But I would recommend not just diving all in unless you really know that you're someone that thrives under pressure.
Brad, thanks a lot for talking today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Brad Stolberg. He's a columnist for New York Magazine. We've been talking about a recent piece he wrote that says pursuing your dreams doesn't have to be about going all in. You can take baby steps and get there eventually. And you can find that article on the Central Time Facebook page.